The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie Same Game Parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity XFi.
Live from State Street and the old National Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP, WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game.
It's time for Dan Durkin's Nerd Notes.
You are a huge nerd.
With Waddle and Sylvie.
Bears got a great team this year. Oh, they're going to go all the way.
A thorough dive into the All-22 coaches tape.
If you want to get all nerdy and all geeky on it,
check out Durkin's YouTube channel, The All-22 Review. Nerd! Film breakdown of the Chicago Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Follow Dan Durkin on Twitter at DJ Durkin.
Get those nerds!
Nerd Notes nerd on ESPN nerd! 1000.
That's right, Dan Durkin every Thursday at 4 o'clock breaks down the film. Waddle and I drove in together. Waddle doing the driving, of course.
Yeah.
I'm here if you need me to drive you ever.
I know. It's fine. I'm not bothered by it.
Explain what you were...
Well, I was just telling you, like, I watched the film this morning, and it was the least enthused I was about actually sitting in front of my computer to watch it. And, like I told you several weeks ago, I actually enjoy watching Bears tape now because it's fun to see the concepts and how the coach tries to get the most out of his specific players and watching Justin do different things. Like, this was... I wouldn't say it was a hate watch, but it was, you know, it was it was work watch.
Right. Watching the Bulls last night was a hate watch. Yeah. Yeah. Watching this was a work watch.
Yeah, it was a work watch.
And if you're just tuning in, Justin Fields was a full participant, which was a big surprise, which would certainly change the way we watch this weekend's game.
No question.
Because we were talking about there's not much here with their generic defense and with... The way the quarterback lineup would look.
Like, my wife is supposed to land at O'Hare at noon. Like, you know me. I always go pick my wife up and my kids up at the airport. If Fields plays, she may be Ubering it.
Yeah, that's good. That's, I mean...
She may be Ubering it.
Dan, what do you make of the news that Fields is trending towards playing? Would that be surprising to you?
It is surprising to me, and I will say, to kind of couch on what Tom was talking about, like, this felt like we should earn hazard pay from watching this particular game.
This game was
so rough to watch the second time through. I mean, you know, the second drive was encouraging. I was like, oh, okay, this game's not going to be too bad, and then the wheels just completely fell off. But, you know, coming back to Justin, I mean, again, you have to trust the medical, you know, staff here, that they're not going to put him in harm's way, and he's not going to, you know, I'm worried about re-injury or like what he needs to do to protect himself on the field. But in terms of the elevation of the offense, obviously it could be pretty significant. Now, as coaches, you need to be mindful of how many of these design runs you would use Justin on, and you know, you have to be very judicious of how you come up with your game plan. But I think more than anything else, the conclusion that I would draw from this past weekend is who can possibly feel bad about Justin Fields and where he is at when you compare and contrast Trevor Siemian with a similar cast of characters and just how anemic the offense looked. And then just by switching out the quarterback, the elevation that the offense gets as a consequence of Justin being in the game, I thought that was the point that was the most hammered home to me in this one was just the sheer playmaker that he has become this season. And to your guys' point, just the joy it's been to watch him mature throughout the course of the season.
Will you be a tad nervous watching Fields if he does play?
I will, just because, you know, this is much sooner. You know, if this does, you know, it appears like he is on track to play if he's a full participant today. Obviously, signing Tim Boyle to, you know, off the Lions practice squad, I'm not sure if that is to potentially buttress against Trevor Siemian and his potential inavailability for the game. But I think it's going to be a situation where you have to. I was cringing by the end of that Falcons game just because you knew he was visibly hurt. And then when you saw him run a couple more, I was just like, man, this just didn't feel right. The end of that game, you know, had me fuming a little bit just in terms of, you know, like some of the play call choices that were made. But I will be a little cringy at moments every time that he's, you know, near a hit or if he's trying to, you know, gain a couple extra yards. So what type of coaching, if he does play, are they putting in his head about, you know, safety? Get down, throw the ball away if there's pressure in your face, don't make a sack worse, you know, like all of those types of things. And can he take that coaching just because we all know the competitor that he is and what he wants to do? And just his pain tolerance, that's been something that's been so proven and so evident since, you know, go back to his college days. So I will be watching this with a little bit of nervousness, no doubt about it.
I would expect this offense to change regardless of what his physical condition is, because they need to learn what they can do and provide a little bit of experience and growth for him in a different setting as well. Don't you expect, even, let's get beyond this game against the Packers, the final four games, don't you expect, Dan, this offensive or the game plan to be significantly different as they segue away from what they were doing the last 4 or 5 weeks?
I think so. And I mean, when you kind of, you know, chunk this season out into, you know, like if you want to do it in thirds or whatever it is, I think that you've seen a tail, like an offensive, you know, just progression from, hey, let's try and see what Justin can digest at the beginning of the season. You know, maybe more drop back passes, you know, like that was kind of the first third of the season, and realizing like this really isn't producing points or keeping the offense on the field. We're running into some third down and some red zone issues. And then you think about after the Washington game, even though they should have scored a lot of points in that Washington game, they just couldn't close in the red zone. You saw the switch to, you know, more designed runs and getting Justin more comfortable with, you know, some sprint outs and some early completions to get him comfortable. And that kind of became the basis. And so now when you think about what do we need to do, not only to potentially protect Justin, but then to the point that you're making, your time, what do we not know about Justin as a quarterback that we want to know heading into the off season? And how do we adjust our game plans and what we're installing during the week to start getting some answers about those questions? And so I am interested to see how much they circle back to some of the drop back concepts they went to earlier in the year. And the reason that I think that it might be a little bit more successful is we have seen growth from Justin in this regard, and it's been pretty clear. If you go back to the beginning of the season when you watch him in the drop back game, even from like clean-ish pockets, the moments he had to come off of his spot, he was not looking to continue being a passer. He was looking to tuck the ball and run, and you know, just kind of get out of harm's way, even though it might not have been here. And now, while you still see that pop up, it has definitely decreased over the last, you know, month and a half of the season. And now you're seeing him wanting to remain a quarterback for as long as possible. And well, how do you know that that's the case? His eyes are still down the field. He's not just tucking the ball and running. He's keeping the ball in a position to where he can break his hands and still throw it. And so those are the ways that you can see it, and he'll still step up in the pocket, slide, and look to throw the ball and distribute the ball as a passer. And so now how do you take that to the next step and say, look, we know the protection's not great, but you know, there are some moments now where you just need to understand, I need to have this internal clock in my head that says, you know, once I'm getting to that 2 second mark, I need to either be looking to get rid of the ball, you know, to somebody who's open, checking the ball down, or just throwing the ball away. Can he now take that next step in his maturation? Because one of the things that I did like from watching Siemian, and I think that there were mental reps that Justin could learn from, is how quickly he does process. Obviously, you saw Simeon's shortcomings in terms of arm strength, mobility, accuracy at times, all that stuff was kind of waning. And I can only speculate that the oblique injury was probably contributing to that a little bit. But, you know, if you go back to the touchdown that he threw to Pringle, that's a play to learn from. Larry Borum gets beat at right tackle. He gets flat out beat on that one. But by the time it's a 3-step drop from the shotgun, by the time Trevor hit his 3rd step, he knew he was throwing the ball to Byron Pringle. And when you watch it, like, Pringle is not open, but the defensive back had his back to the quarterback. And so he threw a trust ball. Like, I don't know if that's a throw that Justin makes. And so, like, when they have those types of conversations in the film, what did you see? Why did you feel confident to do that? Well, it's single coverage. The guy's got his back to me. I felt like I could put it in a place to where my receiver could make a play, and he did it. So it's those types of things that I think will help Justin to say, hey, man, that was a situation where the pocket was murky. He didn't get nervous, and he trusted this guy to make this play in single coverage. So it's those types of things that I think that this game might have helped him a little bit to see the game through a different quarterback's eyes.
Dan Durkin joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Dan, all that being said, though, watching the film from the Packers last week against the Eagles, though, when you look at the Jalen Hurts stats, it's almost identical to what Fields had been doing in the lead up to the injury. Hurts was 153 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 157 yards rushing, 17 attempts. They scored 40 points. So with this team that allowed 300 yards rushing in the Packers, could it be easier said than done to throw the ball more when you know they're super susceptible to rushing the football against them?
Yeah, I think you have to make it, you know, a week-to-week. It's a week-to-week league, and it's a week-to-week game plan. I think if you think about the balance of the season of what's left, you'd like to see more opportunities and potential teach tape for what we consider to be, you know, like the drop-back passing game. Now, to your point, which is the correct point, the way you beat the Packers is on the ground. That's always been the case. That's been the case for the last few years. This team has prioritized defensive backs. This team has prioritized coverage more than anything else. That's the way that they want to beat you on defense. They've spent an enormous amount of recent draft capital on defensive backs and getting speed in the defensive backfield. Stokes, Jair Alexander, and then you think about Rasul Douglas and the other people that they brought in via free agency, Adrian Amos. They want to strengthen and fortify that because they know in this league more than ever, if you can't cover, you can't win. I mean, just look at the Jets and what the Bears couldn't cover, and the Jets just picked them apart. And so for this particular game plan, I do think that the Bears would be, you know, best suited to have a nice balance of run and pass simply because the Packers have been deficient against the run all season long. But how much of the quarterback run game do you want to include in that calculus when you're talking about the number of runs that you're going to call or at least put in the game plan for this weekend? That's the question that I think that Luke Getsy has to be very careful in how he approaches.
I just hope they're telling him, Dan, listen, we all make mistakes. Throw it. If it gets picked off and another guy makes an interception, that guy gets paid as well. Learn from your mistakes. Just throw it. I hope that's
right,
their approach.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. What else did you see on tape that either discouraged you or encouraged you with regard to other positions?
I like Tevin Jenkins a lot, and I've liked Tevin Jenkins all season long. He is somebody who really truly enjoys burying his opponent and, you know, playing to within the echo of the whistle. And if you go back, or if you're a masochist like Tom and I, and you watch the game a second time through, there are certain things that you can look at and enjoy, you know, while you watch. And so, you know, I always like to, you know, kind of look at the coverage and the concept from the wide angle and then the line play when it gets to the tight copy. And my eyes just kept going back to Tevin Jenkins, and just, I don't know if you see this time, his feet are great.
Yeah.
For somebody that big, he has excellent feet. He has excellent feet in the run game to climb to, you know, to reach a second level linebacker, even if he's out leveraged. So what I mean by that is, so if he's lined up at right guard and the Mike or the Will or the Sam, whoever it is over there, if that guy is 3 or 4 steps to his right, he still has the ability to beat a guy who has leverage to the way that the play is going because his footwork is so light. And then the way that he's able to set and re-anchor, even if he's giving up ground in the bull rush, his ability to reset his feet is really impressive. And so when you think about building blocks for the future, the Bears have found one to go along with this. You think about the core people moving forward, Tevin Jenkins is absolutely one of those core players. So he, to me, again, stood out very significantly. And now if we want to bring this back to the conversation that we had last week, you need to now, Tevin, realize you have the ability and you have the potential to be not the best offensive lineman on your team. You're already that. You have the ability to be one of the best offensive linemen in the league, and that's not a joke, and that's not hyperbole. Now, do you want to commit yourself to becoming that person for a 17 and potentially 18, 19, or 20-game season if you can mentally and physically commit yourself to your craft? Because when you are on the field, you are a difference maker. So Tevin Jenkins, to me, more than anybody, just solidified to me as an absolute building block for the future. And I did like some of the stuff that I saw from Claypool. They had a couple nice wrinkles. The first play of the second drive, You saw a slightly different offense, but they were using that fake sweep play action. So they basically show like they're gonna throw they're gonna toss it to Montgomery on a sweep to the right, and then it would be like a half boot back to the middle of the pocket. And they kept running like a layered two man concept with Mooney and Claypool over the middle, and he kept looking for Claypool in those instances. Nice scheme, and they were creating a lot of open space right over the middle to where, as soon as Simeon's head turned back, he was firing the ball out there. So I like that. I like the trust throw. So some positive signs from Chase Claypool as well. Those were the two that I put in my notes to say, yeah, these guys showed up and played a really strong game, as did Byron Pringle, because the times that the ball came his way, he made plays on it.
Yeah, sure. I said to Sylvie in the car on the ride in today, I said to him, I think my words were, when Tevin Jenkins wants to play, and by that I mean be out there, he's their best offensive lineman, and he is a talented guy. I also said to Sylvie, too, I'm no offensive line expert, but there are things about Braxton Jones that he does, his athleticism, and some of the things that he does leaves me encouraged. He's not strong enough. He does some things wrong. Do you believe, Dan, that he ultimately can become a really good offensive lineman, or does he have flaws, in your opinion, that just will never be fixed?
I agree with you that the strength component is the biggest concern when you watch him. He has really good feet, too, though, and his ability to mirror, particularly in pass protection, is quite encouraging. He battles. He needs to get significantly stronger, though, in his lower and upper body, because he gets overpowered at times. And if he is trailing, or if his kick slide, isn't as wide as it needs to be, he can lose on speed every now and then. But he has really long arms. He doesn't quit on reps, which I like. So even if he's beat, he's still trying to chase his guy down. I think he is somebody to potentially build upon. But when you think about, ascending talents, obviously Tevin's got a year in the league. I am absolutely convinced that Tevin Jenkins is like a stamp him like starter for many, many years for the Bears, and the guy that you should build around. We talked about building the interior of the pocket. He is one of those building blocks. Not sure about Cody. Definitely need a new center. Braxton Jones, I think, was an excellent find in the fifth round. Get him stronger. I think he has the potential to be an adequate left tackle. I don't know if his presence would prohibit me if the opportunity to upgrade at left tackle came to be. I think I'd be really tempted to go out and sign somebody that may upgrade the talent level.
Anything else, Dan, that stood out in your film study?
Not really. I mean, I think that I'm really eager to see if Alex Leatherwood gets some run out there, because I'm not sure if you saw this, Tom, too, but Larry Borum is a rough watch over there on the right side, as he's been all season long.
That's why I thought, Dan, maybe at some point you could kick Braxton Jones over to the right side if, like you said, you could upgrade on the left. But I'm with you. I think the Borum experiment, I don't believe, will last long up there.
No, absolutely not. And his ankle kind of bent inward. Like, you get a really good shot at it from the tight copy. It happened from behind, so you have a really good – his, like, left ankle went in, and it did not look good from it. So I would assume – so given the fact that the Bears claimed Leatherwood and they've inherited his contract, he is, I think, almost $6 million guaranteed. You have to know what you have in this guy. So I think it's very much eval mode for that, because this team is going to look so drastically different next year. You really need to hone in on, hey, who's the guy that we could potentially feel confident on with a full off season with, versus a guy that's just a guy. And so you need to know if Leatherwood's a guy or just, somebody that you want to actually try and build around next year. So I'm really eager to see what that looks like. But this was tough tape. This is really tough tape to watch. The defense was, absolutely just obliterated by injuries heading in. And then when you're talking about Eddie getting hurt on a non-contact injury, and then you have like Dane Cruikshank and Elijah Hicks and all these guys in there, it was a rough look in the secondary.
Dan, great stuff. We appreciate you. We'll talk next Thursday, all right?
Thanks, Dan.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There you go. There he is, Dan Durkin, with his nerd notes as he watches the film. And again, Justin Fields was a full participant today. Very surprising. Robert is in Green Bay. He's a Bears fan, though. He calls the show quite a bit. Robert, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. What's on your mind?
How you guys doing, buddies?
Everything's good.
Robert.
It's an arch rival. We want our best players on that field to beat our arch rivals. I want their best players on that field, so they don't have to say, "Oh, well, we didn't have, Rodgers was hurt, and, you know, this is why we beat you and stuff like that. But you know what? I want Fields to go out there. If he's 100%, that's fine, Danny. Win or lose, I'm fine with it because we got the second pick and the ball's in the court of the Bears. They could trade down and get more draft picks, or they could stay there and get, you know, an edge rusher. Or, you know, like free agents. And I see what they're going to do in the free agents. To me, my three good guys are Orlando Brown, go to Indiana and get Ngakoue and get Portis Buckner on that defense.
The problem is, though, if you win, you may not be drafting second.
Yep, yep. That's what I said. I know I'm a Bear fan, and I do not like the Packers. I despise them, but I'm just getting sick. You know, like us, Sylvie, we're Bear fans. For 30 years, we've been getting talked down to, like, oh, Bears, you know, this and that. They don't have a quarterback. Well, you know what? We have a quarterback now. Now everybody can you know, move on from that. Now let's see what the Packers do. Oh, they got Jordan Love. Okay. He could be a mediocre, but you know what? If Roger quits or Roger retires, that's an A&R book. We don't have to see him.
What happens when a player retires? Thanks for the call, Robert. When a player retires, he goes to golf.
He plays a lot of golf.
All right, wise ass. You stop coughing and listen up for a second. Does the money come off of the books, or do you have to accelerate something?
So. I'm not sure.
I don't know what it is either.
Cap, I bet you the bonus probably accelerates. Think,
yeah, something would.
Yeah, no, there's a cap hit related
okay,
to it.
Yeah.
Because
it,
he's
you know,
not retiring.
No, he's got $100 million left on his contract,
he's not
doesn't
retiring,
he?
Retiring, yeah.
So
312-332-3776. Does this bother anybody? Is anyone else worried about Fields if he does play? I know the majority. I have a poll out there about if you're do you want
an excited
him to play?
Poll?
Yeah, like do you want him to play? Bears fans, do you want Fields to play? 312-332-3776. And Cap tried to out cap himself today. We have two pieces of audio.
Dueling Cap?
Yes. Did Cap outcap himself today compared to several years ago?
No shot.
We will find out if he did. You will be the judge, Waddle, and we will find out next.
That is the sound of Miller Time. And yes, we continue to celebrate Miller Time all football season long. You should join us because it's fun. And we take the show on the road all year long. We have a few broadcasts left, including tomorrow, where we will be in the city live at Cody's Public House in Lakeview.
I believe there's going to be food.
I was going to say, there's going to be some grilling going on there.
Matt Hayes texted me because you wanted to know what he's going to be grilling for us. And he's grilling for all of our fans, free. He's going to be having free food for our listeners. He is grilling chicken, brats, burgers with some sides.
Okay, there you go.
Is that good?
And, of course, we'll all be drinking Miller Lite as well and getting you ready for Bears versus the Cheeseheads and U.S. versus the Netherlands Saturday morning as well. It's Miller Time at Cody's, and please celebrate responsibly.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I want to take this call because it's the description is too good to pass up. And then I want to play you the Cap rant from today on the Bulls. He tried to out-cap
himself.
Who
are these Bulls you speak of?
The Bulls that is... I thought the fun Bulls were back after that. The Bulls had a 3 out of 4 win streak.
Yeah,
you can call that a win streak. They should have won 4 in a row because they never should have lost that Oklahoma City game, the overtime game. They should have had a 4-game win streak. And I thought, and I tweeted, the fun Bulls are back for good. And they're not back for good.
Oh, you did tweet that? Fun Bulls are back for good?
Yeah, it was over the weekend after like a cocktail or two.
After they had beaten the Celtics and they beat the Bucks.
The Bucks, yeah. Like, I just thought, like, at least the fun, even if they were, I knew they were going to lose games, but it, like being competitive.
This isn't fun.
No, last night was not fun. No. That was not fun whatsoever.
Not sexy at all.
You know, a guy scoring 50 points in three quarters was not fun.
In 25 shots.
Yeah.
He was 20 of 25 from the field.
Reading articles in The Ringer about blowing it up. When a year ago, they were like the darlings of the NBA at this point. Like, come on. And I don't want to blow it up either. I don't think that's the answer. I don't think starting over again is the right answer. I really don't. But before that, the description on this call, and if you're just getting into your car, Justin Fields was a full participant. So maybe he's trending to play on Sunday. Chase Claypool said today that he looked no different than before the injury.
There you go.
Peter in Orland, though, says the description on this call says, Packer fan saved my life. Peter, what does that mean?
13 years ago, I had a liver transplant. I ended up in Madison, Wisconsin for it. And the donor was a woman that passed, and she was a Packer fan. So after that year, I went back to going to games, that season tickets for over 40 years now. And I went to the championship game against Green Bay, and of course they lost. So I was in contact with the donor family, and I called them up, and I said, you guys, they're from Chippewa Falls. I said, you know, I'm a season ticket holder, and I went to the championship game, and her mom laughed, and she goes, well, at least the party you went home happy, meaning her daughter's liver.
Great. Yeah.
And I said, that's so cool she was able to do that. So my thing is, I hate the Packers, even though I do now have some Packer blood in me or whatever. But it's been such a long time, you know, we got how many quarterbacks? I think I've seen it this week. It was like 20-something quarterbacks from the year 2000 or something.
Since then,
It's insanity, you know. And, you know, my kids, the youngest one's 23, and the oldest ones are in their 30s. And I've taken them for years. And they've only been to three freaking championship games, you know? And that's just, I'm just fed up with this crap, you know?
Well, look, that's an incredible story, though,
it
Peter.
Yeah. You got great perspective on this rivalry. And
you know what? NBC Sports did it that year when the Bears played the Packers in 2011. NBC Sports filmed the family's meeting for the first time. You can see it on YouTube. That's NBC Sports. Bears Packer transplant. Check that out. It's really cool. My thing is, we need more organ donors to save lives.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
I've been so blessed with the last 13 years. I got to walk my daughter down the aisle. I got two grandkids now. I'm retired, and life is just freaking great. I'm so blessed. But it's like, you know, the agony of all these years going to the game, and it was like somebody's punishing me, even though they saved my life. I'm still going to the games. And getting, you know, it doesn't faze me as like it used to.
Yeah, you're the winner in this story, Peter, for sure.
Yeah, like the bear stuff shouldn't bother you as much.
Right.
Oh, it doesn't. Before the transplant, I used to have an apartment building, and I wouldn't rent to this one guy because he was a Green Bay Packer fan, you know. And I go, that ain't right. I shouldn't do that to the poor kid, you know. But, you know, it was like, and I'm thinking in my head I shouldn't. But I ended up, you know, somebody else rented. But
we used to do a bit where we used to say something nice about a Packer fan.
Yeah.
And it would always be like a joke thing.
Right.
But
wow, that's a lovely new orange hunting jacket that you have on.
Exactly. But that's legit right there, Peter. That's a good story.
It's a great story. So, guys, check that out on YouTube, NBC Sports. All your fans, too, if they're listening. NBC Sports, Bears Packer transplant. Check that story out.
That's you. Really, yeah. And continued good health, Peter.
With you, because it is kind of sad, because it was the families meeting together for the first time.
Yeah.
But I listen to you guys really good all the time, and I really appreciate all the hard
work.
Thank
you. Thank you, Peter.
Continued good
Thank
health.
You. There's Peter. Wow. What a story. They're really good stuff right there. That's good story. That's a great story.
That's real life.
Yes.
That's real life.
Yes, it is. All right, so do you remember Cap's rant from... Well, I was at this game with Jesse. We're going to see Jesse, too, tonight at Binney's.
Yeah.
He's stopping by.
I remember he went from one, like, octave to the next, and then all of a sudden he became an angry Southern guy, right?
No, I think an angry, like a Southern woman almost.
Okay, all right.
We were at this game. It was the game. It was while KD was still on The Warriors.
Yes.
And they
Bulls
scored
and Warriors.
And they scored like 88 points in the first half.
Yes.
Klay set the record for most threes in
Don't
the game.
Sell them short. It was 92 in the first half.
Was it 92 in the first half?
92?
92. Wow. They scored 48 in the second quarter.
Wow.
44 in the first.
And it was incredible. And Cap wanted the Bulls to tackle Klay Thompson.
Yes.
From shooting threes. So he had this famous rant back in the Cap and Company days.
I'm not expecting them to go beat Golden State last night. But when you come out there and get pumped where Klay Thompson's in the zone, so we're going to feed Klay Thompson, and no one is going to have the you-know-whats to come over there and go, bam, knock him down on a shot. Foul. I'm not telling you to go break his nose. I'm not telling you to take his knees out. I'm telling you to close out on a shot and make sure his ass is on the ground. And then help him up and go, try it again. I'll knock your ass down again. Instead, they all got popcorn and sat there and went, go get him, Klay. Let's watch the record. I can tell my grandkids I was there when you hit all those damn shots.
Yes, you're right. He went from grandma to grandpa.
Yeah.
He did. Back to grandma to grandpa.
The damn shots.
Yes.
That was always my favorite. The damn shots.
He went from grandpa to grandma to grandpa.
He did.
And then he dipped his toe in the South for a little bit, too, didn't he?
But my favorite part of that is, I'm not going to break his nose, but he's going to tackle him. He goes, try shooting it again, and I'm going to do it again.
Well, that's not basketball. All I'm doing is I'm shooting another three. That's all I'm doing here. I'm shooting threes. You're going to tackle me?
Try it again. I'm taking you out again. So Booker, Devin Booker last night scored 50.
On 25 shots.
On 25 shots in three quarters of basketball.
Go ahead and make the shot, Book.
Was he?
I'm going to come over there and play some defense. Then you're going to make a shot, Book.
That's what you're predicting. Did you hear the rant?
I have not. I'm looking
for it. It's a little longer today. Yeah. You could tell he went into the lab and he said to himself, I got to try and outdo myself.
Outdo myself, yeah. Okay.
Which is always tough to do. The sequels are never...
Does he get on the voice roller coaster again?
No, or did he get on the roller coaster? He went quite blue, though, today.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. He went bordering blue. On misogynist today.
Yeah, I don't know if the language was all that good. But what was it, 51? Is that what Book had?
He had 51, I believe, in three quarters of play, and he only put up 25 shots.
And he was just chilling on the bench the entire fourth quarter, while Billy sent out the rest of the Bulls for garbage time to finish that game.
No, I think his starters were on the floor for the majority of the fourth quarter, despite the game being put away.
My team's on the floor.
Yeah.
So here's Cap ranting about the awful Bulls defense against the Suns and Devin Booker.
Jonathan, what they did last night reminded me of the Klay Thompson game.
Go get him, Klay!
Remember the Klay Thompson game? 14 threes, and not one person had the willingness to go out and, little shot! You're not going to get these open looks all night long. Not one guy laid his you-know-whats, his balls on the table and went, this guy's 20 of 25 from the floor. I was there when Klay hit all those damn shots. Remember that rant?
I do.
Well, that's the crap I watched last night. The same nonsense. He played 30 minutes. That's it. 30 minutes. Here's his line. 31 minutes. 20 of 25, 6 of 7 from 3. 6 of 7. Somebody want to take a little shot? Foul him hard? I'm not telling you to take his ACL out. I'm not. I'm not telling you to play dirty. How about when he lets go of the shot, you close out hard? Little shot. Help him up.
It sounds weird.
Dude, you're not going to get unfettered access to the freaking basket all night long. That's on my watch. How about somebody get in the GD huddle? Coach, I've got him. Get out of the way. I'll take him.
Play the Hoosiers.
He's a great player. He is. That team went 15 of 33 from the three-point line. 15 of 33. And not one guy had the balls to step up and take a little bit of pride in what they do defensively. They got punked last night. You lost to OKC, you played lousy. You lost to Orlando, you played lousy against lousy competition. You showed up in Phoenix last night, and you were their homecoming game. You got punked. You played like bitches.
Whoa. Whoa.
I wasn't expecting that. I hadn't heard that. I wasn't expecting that. I did. One of my favorite parts is, you got to have the you-know-whats. You got to have the balls. Like, you can just said balls the first time. I wasn't expecting the last statement, though. I will say this.
We still saying that in 2022?
No. I said, did he really just say that?
I know that, Waddle, but I think in 2022, you might want to lose that one.
Okay, I know. But I mean, like, it just shocked me that he went.
Me too. Yeah. I was shocked.
Yeah. By the way, when you close out on somebody, I don't know if that was it. But my.
You all right?
You're going to force yourself to cough now. My point is that, like, if you do that and you get a little shot as you close out, there's a really good chance when you make that contact and that three-point shooter that's coming down, it could land on your foot or it could blow out his ACL or his ankle. Like, how about as you're fighting through the screen to try to make sure that he doesn't get the three off, make your contact there. If a guy's got a three and he goes up for it and you are going to go make contact because you're some badass now, there's a greater chance you're going to hurt that person at that point.
You're not even allowed to be underneath the
guy. That's my point.
Like, the rules today are so...
Well, if you want to make contact, you don't wait until the guy's in the air and the... like, right? Am I wrong? I mean, like, basketball is not my... You know, that was... He got me with the last comment. I wasn't expecting that.
Neither was I. Yeah. So,
do you understand what he's calling for? Because I still don't. He doesn't want to take out their ACLs.
I want them to play better.
Play harder, play some defense, talk.
I wish they were constructed better. I don't know. Like, I don't know. This is what my whole thing was at the start of the season. I don't know what the end game is for this team. What is the end game? With the news that we got with Lonzo
Ball,
the
9 seed,
that he's not close. Like the 9 seed, the 10 seed, is that what you're in this for?
No.
And then where are you going? What are you doing? What are you trying to be? Like, I don't want to start over either. I don't think that's the road that you want to take.
I mean, I know you don't want to move on from what can you add to what can you do to what they have now that vaults them into any type of being a competitor in the East. Like, you can't go out there and get shooters now, can you?
No, unless there's a team that is just going to sell. Like, there are going to be teams that tank, and those are there are people who say the Bulls should tank. I don't believe so. But you had a chance to do that several years, and they didn't do that the right way.
But you don't have any draft picks to trade.
The Bulls?
Yeah.
Well, they have Portland's pick, and then they have next year's pick to trade. And you have some of your young picks, and that some of these teams,
some of your young players,
yeah, and you have an expiring deal in Vooch, and you have other things to trade. You still can trade Patrick Williams, not obviously at the height that it was once was.
Call me crazy.
It's not a good situation.
No, I know.
Anyway,
like, I don't know what your answer is. I mean, not you, but I'm saying anybody. I don't know what the answer is.
That's the thing.
I mean, and again, I think the really relevant point here is that, you know, look, if you do go that route, where's your trust level in the group that they're going to make the right decisions?
I don't.
Here.
I don't.
I mean, we all love Io as a player.
Right.
You know, tremendous value as a second round pick.
Good guy off the
bench.
Good
guy to have on your roster.
Right.
But you can't hang your hat on, hey, we really scout and find the young guys. By pointing to him.
332-3776 if you want to react. Also coming up at 5, we're going to talk to Josh McCown, who is fantastic at breaking down football. He will tell us what he sees.
He could tell you also about being a quarterback with a separated shoulder and what risk you may be
okay,
at.
Good. Josh McCown on Justin Fields joins us at 5 o'clock. All right, it's the perfect time of year. The holidays are back, and so is Toyota-thon. It's going on right now at your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer for the biggest event of the year. It's where you can get that RAV4 like I drive. I absolutely love it. It's the RAV4 Hybrid. I get 40 miles to the gallon. I'm saving so much money at the pump, and I absolutely love it. Super sporty, all the latest tech. It's a fantastic family car, too. And my kids are all around town over the weekends. Check it out. And they've got one of 20 Toyota models with available all-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. It's super helpful for all that Chicago winters have to offer. Plus, every Toyota comes with Toyota Care. This is a fantastic deal. It's a two-year or 25,000-mile no-cost maintenance plan with roadside assistance. And it's time to ring in the season with a winter-ready, fuel-efficient new Toyota. Check them all out at Toyota.com. You love the Highlander? It's got room for eight. Check out the Tundra. Everything that you could possibly love. Check them all out. The Camry, I've driven that too. Love it. Visit your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer or go to Toyota.com for the latest offers and much, much more. Toyota, let's go places.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
All right, don't forget Cody's tomorrow in Lakeview. All of the people in the city. It's a rare city appearance for us. Hope to see you at Cody's in Lakeview. It's on Barry. Talking a little Bulls, then we'll get to Josh McCown to talk Justin Fields. Danny in Frankfurt, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Danny?
It's Manny, by the way.
What's up, Manny?
Hey, Manny. Hey guys. Just a quick question. Listen to you guys talk about the Bulls right now. Seeing all the trouble we're having with knowing where we are in the league and all that stuff. I was just thinking yesterday or a couple of nights ago when they're playing against the Jazz, who you'd rather have now? I know we have Vucevic and we had Markkanen. Who would you rather have now that you've seen them play and what they've been doing for other teams and seeing what Vucevic has been since he's been with the Bulls?
Are you saying Markkanen or Vooch? Is that what you're asking? Or are you asking Vooch?
Well, no. Just between Vooch and Markkanen, who you guys would rather have now? Or would the Bulls have been better off sticking it out with Markkanen instead of trying to find DeMar and other players to try and
Like I said to Waddle, the one thing that I've liked with what I've seen with the Bears' current regime is their coaches have taken Tevin Jenkins, who wasn't their guy, and he was supposed to be drafted as a tackle, but they have made him into a really productive guard, and they've developed him. And same thing with Kmet. Kmet wasn't the guy that Ryan Pace thought he would be.
Well, now they're using him in a role that actually fits his skill set.
And when AK came in, and he looked at Markkanen, and he looked at Wendell, and he's like, I can't use him. I'm not going to develop them. I'm getting them out, and I'm bringing in guys. And he overpaid for Vooch. And I think you're seeing how that has gone. And it hasn't gone well. And I don't think the approval rating for AK is very good right now. It was a really good draft pick that he made to get Io in the second round. It was a good move to get DeMar in. Other than that, what's there?
Nothing that you feel great about.
Lonzo was a good signing, and then it's been bad luck since. Caruso, decent signing, but there hasn't been a lot. And
don't confuse activity with accomplishment.
So there's a lot of work to do, and they did no activity or accomplishment this offseason. Well, Dr. Josh McCown, what is he like? What is he not like from Justin Fields, if there is anything? And does he want to be a head coach in this league? He almost got the Houston Texans job a year ago. Remember that? Our old buddy Josh McCown joins us coming up next.